Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio and we're studying James 4, if you've been following us, and we're in 13 through 17. And last time we talked a lot about do we have, you know, a kingdom vision? Do we seek God's kingdom?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and we talked a lot about arrogance.
Yeah, arrogance just keeps popping up and making plans for the future. And so we ended with the verses talking about planning for tomorrow and just thinking through what that looks like. And the question we want to begin with is James saying we shouldn't plan? I mean, really, is James telling us we shouldn't plan?
No.
No, that's not it. Is he telling us that we shouldn't have long-range plans?
No.
Right. So we need to be getting this into our mind. So let's go back, and I'm going to have Hosanna read for us the James passage, 4 verses 13 through 17, just out of the Bible, not from the Amplified or the Expanded like we've been doing.
It says, "Now listen, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins."
Hmm. Wow, so good. All right, I'm going to ask the question again. So he's not saying, I guess it's a statement. He's not saying that we should make plans for the future. He's not saying that we shouldn't have long-range plans. So what we're going to do is now Hosanna's going to read for us Luke 14, 28-32, because Jesus actually affirms the value of planning. And we need to recognize that he's not saying we can't plan. So what does Jesus had to say?
He says, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and establish the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose that king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace."
A man who plans should count the cost and should look at the circumstances and plan out a strategy per Jesus' example that he just gave us right there. And so we know that based on Scripture, and you always want to take Scripture and apply Scripture to Scripture to see how it supports. And so it's always going back to the attitude of the heart. Well, Greg, when we were doing this, he shared something with our Sunday school class that I thought was pretty interesting. And it's an idea in the business world called pivot. Mm. And essentially, the definition would be is be flexible. Okay. But you think of like the ball that's in a metal thing, and it can pivot and it can rotate and move around so that it can go in any direction.
Kind of like a sprinkler system.
Right, based on what's needed. And he said that in the business world, to call upon the pivot is they recognize they may be moving forward in this direction, and then all of a sudden they find out, I don't know, for lack of an example, let's say their marketing strategy is moving forward this way, and then all of a sudden they find out that on the international scene, some of the words that they're using in their marketing strategy or the image that they're using actually causes cultural offense. Hmm. They have to pivot, be flexible, and go a different direction than what they may have been moving towards because of new information. And so I think if we take the Luke 14, 28 through 32, and we take the James passage and we apply those together, we kind of need to be willing to be
flexible.
Yeah, have the holy pivot happening.
There you go. The holy pivot.
Let's get the holy pivot going. You know, let's redeem it. And so, Paul was planning on going on to, my mind's saying Macedonia, and I may be wrong, so correct me if you guys recall it because I'm just off the cuff saying this. And then God redirected him and said, "No, you need to go here." He had to pivot. He had to change the direction he was going and go a different route. And so what it was is that he was showing he wasn't arrogant about his plans. he was open to the redirecting of the Lord. And so, I don't know, let's pray about that. What does that look like? And be examining our hearts. And if we're dealing with our arrogance and we're making sure that it's not self-motivated, our self-righteousness or the self-assertiveness or the self-whatever we have of self, then we're open to the pivot that God's going to put in our path. And I don't know. He says we may take the steps, but he'll set the path straight. To me, that tells me that there is a holy pivot that occurs and that I may be thinking that I need to be heading in, towards 2 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, maybe God does a shift and he says, no, I need you going towards 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the clock, I'm just thinking directionally where the 10 is and the 2 kind of thing. Because Anna just gave me a look like, what are you talking about?
I am lost. No, that makes sense now.
You know, just, you know, he'll redirect us as we need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then, as if that's not enough, he then goes in and he compares us to the mist or a vapor or a gas or a fog, depending on your translation. And so how does it make you feel to be considered a mist, a vapor, a fog?
Life is short.
Yeah, it's like, well, my efforts aren't going to last. So I don't know. It kind of is challenging. Okay, are you living temporary or eternally? Because, mm-hmm. like, even if you're only a vapor, but you're, like, contributing to, like, eternal stuff, then it's like, well, my life was part of God's plan, so my story is his story, and that helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we never know when our story's going to end.
Right.
Yeah.
Only God knows.
I was just thinking, this is funny. I just had this image pop in my head as Hosanna was talking. So I'm thinking of vapor mist that open up your pores, you know, and it's gone. But mm-hmm. it only takes it just a few seconds to have the impact of what's needed, and it has a positive redeeming effect. Mm. And, you know, even a vapor can have a redeeming effect in the moment.
Right.
And so be living our mindset in such a way of the kingdom that, okay, in the brevity of this moment, I have a choice. I can move forward in myself, or I can move forward in kingdom-mindedness. And so walking through and doing that, and that it changes how we're going to interact and react. So what I did is I wanted us to actually look at verses that show the brevity of life. So, Hosanna, would you do Psalm 102:11 and Sandy Job 8:9? And then, Hosanna, I'm going to give you another one once you're done. So these are verses. I want us to see what it has to say. And we can examine those and look. But while y'all are looking it up, Francis Chan, in his study, he says that, think of a tea kettle and the steam that comes forth, and it's that he says that's you. We'll see you for 1 second, and then you're gone. And here he's saying, well, here's what I'm going to do today. In fact, here's where I'm going to go, and I'm going to spend the next year here. And James is saying, do you not understand that's arrogance? Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at what Scripture says about the brevity of life.
In Psalms 102, it says, my days are like that of an evening shadow. I wither away like grass.
Hmm. Okay. Sandy?
Okay. Job 8:9. We were born yesterday and know nothing, because our days on earth are a shadow.
Hmm. Okay, a shadow. So both of these that you guys just read are using the words shadow.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And then in 1 Chronicles, it says, we are aliens and strangers in your sight as, is this right?
I don't know. Did I write the wrong one down? I may have written it wrong. Read it and then let's see.
We are aliens and strangers in your sight as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Mm-hmm.
There it is.
There it is.
I'm like, keep going, because I think it's right. Like, but you were thinking, because even with the aliens and strangers, you know, that the brevity of an alien coming in, you know, a foreigner from another land. So all three use the reference of a shadow, because a shadow shifts and turns like a pivot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's tie that in, and I hadn't made that connection until just now. That's funny. But depending on where the light is mm-hmm. moving will determine where the shadow
or how big it is.
Goes, mm-hmm. right? And so we'll have where we can do that covering of a shadow based on how the light is shining on us.
Right. Yeah. You know, you mentioned the business part of that pivot. David Jeremiah says in his On This Chapter, verse 4:17, intentions are not actions. When God prompts believers to do something good, they should obey with a sense of urgency. The time for obedience is now. In business terms, yesterday is canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only cash on hand.
That's so good.
So true.
It is so good. So good. I love David Jeremiah.
I do too.
That's very good. Okay. Well, what happens is that if we don't have the idea that we're a mist, vapor, fog, shadow, we boast. We get arrogant. So actually, understanding the brevity of life is what enables us to understand how important the moment is. And I didn't ask Michaela permission, but I'm going to share this anyhow because I thought it was beautiful what she said. She had shared with the RA team that because of what's happened with Grace, that we have to be so intentional and conscientious as a team for every moment not to waste it. And so by getting that news, going back to the very first recording that we did that waylaid us, that stopped us, that hurt, that, you know, it reminded us our moments together are brief. And in a way, we can almost take for granted our routine. And we can become even arrogant in what we would consider just our regular schedule, not even realizing we've done it. And so by having an idea of the brevity of life, then we are better able than to live with that sense of urgency that you just read, but that sense of, oh my goodness, I have to share Christ with this person. I don't know if I'm going to see this person again. Or I need to, like, encourage this person. And so I've watched that on campus in the last week. I've seen racial boundaries broken. I've seen clique boundaries broken. I've seen spiritual boundaries broken in the crossover of students that normally wouldn't interact and do things that they normally wouldn't have done, you know, in day of prayer sessions and different things. And that it caused all of the things that, God forgive us, we arrogantly thought were important.
It'd always be there, yeah.
Well, or boundaries we created because we were arrogant, both. They're not important anymore. And so getting that concept of the brevity of life. And so as hard as the last week has been, I've been blessed by watching the fruit of God putting the brevity of time before us, because all of us know our time is short. We only have 8 months. Everybody is being so super intentional and so interactive, and so we've got to say the things that need to be said. We need to take care of one another. And it's, why don't we live like that all the time?
Which is like when we had 911, you know, everybody flocked to the church then, you know, the crisis, you know, in Las Vegas.
Right.
You see a lot of people. People come together when there's a problem or a loss, or and yours is a loss, or it's going to be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I think a huge thing, like in the First Corinthians or Chronicles passage, it talks about you're strangers and aliens, and it's this idea of like, this isn't your home. You belong to heaven.
That's right.
And it's so easy to think that this is our home, and so we buy into the stereotypes and the cultural norms and expectations that they have for us. I know that, like, with Grace Closing, I was like, I don't care if this is going to make people uncomfortable and make them feel awkward. Like, I just need to do it. And I just need to talk to these people who I normally don't talk to.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't really matter. They're not going to see me 8 months anyway. So if they think I'm weird, that's okay. But I want to love them.
Do not fear man. That's what the Lord says.
You know, Hosanna, somebody wrote on my door yesterday when I came in, so the night before, I'm so glad, something along, I'm not getting this exact quote, I'm so glad you are who you are, even what people think you are. So apparently my weirdness has come out enough that somebody actually documented it on my door.
Congratulations, yes, Tara.
Thank you. So I just got blessed because of what you just said. It's so good. It is so good. And, you know, I don't know. I just challenge you where you're at. The purpose behind why he's writing this is so that we get out of
ourselves.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Sandy. I think that was a good summation. Get out of yourself.
Get out of ourselves.
Instead of just Nike's just do it, yeah, we're going to do Sandy's get out of yourself.
We need t-shirts. Reminders.
You know, it's so important. Okay, because if we do this, it causes us to get rid of our boast.
Yeah.
We can't, it can no longer be about us, because then we are thinking through about others. And I don't know, when, you know, we were joking and saying, you know, like Groundhog Day, if we could all just, you know, get it, the repetition of doing it over and over, you know, the practice of getting it right. If we think of it in each moment that this is how I'm going to practice to get it right, it makes it different. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have just a little bit of time left, and I have where we're supposed to go to our next round of verses, but I think I'm just going to do a quick summation because we don't have much time. What I want us to understand is that Paul, this isn't the only time about him talking about God's will. So real quick, would you look up Acts 18:21? Hosanna, and Sandy, you do 1 Corinthians 4:19. We'll see. We got a minute and 15 seconds if we can pull these in. And I want you to see that Paul was referencing in other places about God's will. It's not new. Okay, Acts 18:21.
But as he left, he promised, I will come back if it is God's will. Then he set sail for Ephesus.
Okay, so he told his people, I will, as long as God wills it, I will come back. Okay, and then 1 Corinthians 4:19.
But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power.
Puffed up. So that one gets rid of the arrogance. But he says, you know, if the Lord wills.
Yes.
And so we see that in these, he's referencing his travel plans. Mm. You know, having a heart of obedience and recognizing that, you know, he would like to do these things, but he recognizes if it's God's will. And so I want you to turn now to the 1 Corinthians 16:7. Sandy, you're close, so you can
16.
Get that one. Yeah, 16:7, and that'll be our last one before we close. 10 seconds.
Yeah, I'm hurrying.
Oh, well, we may not
16:7,
get it.
16:7,
got 16:7.
It. 16:7. Almost got it. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits.
Okay, always, if the Lord wills. God bless.